That was the, that group that was up here, that's the ladies' three quintet. There was enough there to make 15, right?
I think so.
Yeah, they did a great job. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Yeah, I don't know whether it's the Energizer Bunny or not, but I know one thing, it's amazing how you feel when you get your heart right.
That's right, yeah.
You'll get that in a minute. Open your Bibles this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. By the way, brother, anytime you'd like to have a conference on the home, we'd be glad to come and do it for you.
Yes, sir.
We have done conferences on the home. Not any since Cliff and them been traveling with me, but when my wife and I were traveling, we've done several conferences on the home. And I think the last one we did was in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And we did a conference on the home, and every night there was 65 to 70 people at the altar. And the last night that we preached on that, on the home, was there were just groups of families all over the front of the auditorium with their arms around one another, weeping and getting right with God. And then we had a lady that was with terminal cancer get saved that night. And we're grateful for those times when we can. I love preaching on the home. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, begin reading at verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their lamps, with their in their vessels, with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Heavenly Father, we're grateful today for the privilege and opportunity to be in your house. We thank you, Lord, for what our ears have heard and our hearts have felt thus far. I pray now that you'll bless the Word of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Use me today to be a blessing. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, and verse number 3, The disciples asked the Lord a question. They said, "How can we know when it's time for you to come again? How can we know when that time is near?" And in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus gives us and lays down for us certain signs. And he said, we need to look for those signs. And he said, when you see those signs come to pass, or when the generation sees all those predicted signs come to pass in that generation, then that generation will be alive to see Jesus come again. And he goes on to tell us that we're to watch, for in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man will come. You know, the Lord could come today. He could come anytime. And as you look at the condition of our world today and what's going on around the world today, I don't have any problem realizing that he's coming. So in Matthew 25, Jesus gives us three illustrations of what it will be like when he comes again. In verses 1 through 13, he illustrates what it's going to be like at the rapture, or when the church is raptured out or caught up in the air to be with the Lord. By the way, that's his next event. Amen. There's nothing else to happen on God's calendar event, and that Jesus is going to come again. He raptures the saved out of this life, and we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air and forever to be with the Lord in the air. I can't wait till that day happens. In verses 14 through 30, he illustrates what it's going to be like for the saved after the rapture, when all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And in verse 31 through the remainder of the chapter, he illustrates what it will be like as he returns in Revelation glory to set up his millennial kingdom upon the earth and judge the nations at that particular time. But for the message this morning, I want us to look at that first illustration, what it's going to be like when Jesus comes at the rapture. So we're going to look at verses 1 through 13. And for the main thought this morning, I want you to look again at verse number 6, where the Word of God says, "And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." I've entitled this message this morning, "How will you face your midnight hour?" You see, the midnight hour in the Bible always refers to a time of judgment. As we think back to the book of Exodus chapter 12 and verse 29, when the Bible is dealing with God delivering the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, you recall all the plagues had taken place except one, and that was the plague of the death of the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 29, "At midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt." You see, midnight represents a time of judgment in the Word of God. And we're not unfamiliar with that particular statement. New York City some years ago faced bankruptcy. Cleveland, Ohio faced bankruptcy. In 1984, I don't recall the name of the town, but a small town in Texas faced bankruptcy. I mean, there was a time, my friends, if the bills were not paid, they would face default and they would face bankruptcy. And don't you know that it was midnight on a certain day, on a such and such day, and that bankruptcy would take place? Today, our nation is facing a midnight hour. Our nation is so far in debt, and it's getting worse every day. And one of these days, America will face bankruptcy. Don't you understand that that day will be at midnight on a such and such a day? Midnight always refers to a time of judgment. But may I say to you also, there's coming a midnight hour for every individual in this auditorium this morning. There's coming a time, my friends, when we'll face our eternity in heaven or hell. The question is, how will you face your midnight hour? Our story in the scripture tells us about 10 young ladies. They're called virgins. 10 young ladies are divided up into two groups. One group, as the Bible puts it, is known as the wise, and the other group is known as the unwise, yet they were all called virgins. These 10 virgins represent of all who profess to be Christians today, but the Bible plainly teaches us that not everybody that says they're saved are saved. Not everybody who pretends to be a Christian is a Christian. Not everybody that says they're going to heaven will go to heaven. These 10 virgins represent all professing Christendom today, and we are made aware of the fact here in this passage of Scripture that some are not ready to face their midnight hour. 10 virgins faced their midnight hour. 5 were ready, but 5 were not ready. 5 were saved, but 5 were unsaved. 5 were on their way to heaven, but 5 were facing eternity without God in a place called hell forever and ever and ever. The great question that we need to consider today, folks, is how will you face your midnight hour? Just 3 specific thoughts this morning. Number 1, I want to talk to you about the fallacy of the foolish virgins. The fallacy of the foolish virgins. These 5 foolish virgins represent those who pretend to be saved, but they're not saved. They represent those who pretend that everything's all right, but it's not all right. And their fallacy was they pretended to be ready to face God, but they weren't ready. You know, in every generation and every situation, you always have some who pretend. These foolish virgins pretended that they were Christians. They pretended that they were saved. Now, I want you to notice, they all look just alike. Amen? The wise virgins or the saved virgin. Their dress was the same. They all had lamps. They acted alike. They all went to the same place. And with the natural eye, you could not distinguish the difference between the 5 wise and the 5 unwise. They all looked the same. But you see, God knew that 5 of them were ready to meet God. But he also knew that 5 were foolish. He knew that 5 were ready and 5 were not ready. 5 were pretenders and 5 were honest to good, blood-bought children of God. I believe the Lord put this in the Bible to teach us that there are people in our churches all across America who are content to live a life of pretense. Many today who sit in our pews all across America pretend to be saved, but they're not saved. They pretend that everything's all right, but they know it's not all right. And God knows it's not all right. And Jesus knows it's not all right. And the Holy Spirit knows it's not all right. I'm telling you, the life of a pretender is a miserable life. And I'd hate to know that when I go downstairs tonight and pillow my head, knowing that I might not see the sunrise on another day, I'd hate to know that I was pretending about my Christianity. I was pretending about my eternity and my relationship with God. Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I have a new Bible. Sometimes it takes me a while to find the books anymore. I hate to admit it, but I got to the point where I couldn't see the print. And so I got me a large print Bible, and I'm not quite used to it yet. So just give me a second. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to notice with me particularly verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You see, God knows who we are. God knows if you're saved or not. The foundation of God standing sure, knowing he knows them that are his. Let me ask you to something this morning. Does he know you? Does he know you? Are you 100% sure this morning that you're saved? You see, God knows who's saved, and only a fool would be content to face eternity and their midnight hour on the status of pretense. Folks, do you realize that there's coming a day when the robes of pretense are going to fall away and we'll stand before God face to face? Going to be different than standing in front of your pastor and trying to explain to him why you missed church for 3 weeks. Amen. These foolish virgins played the part of a fool because they pretended that everything was all right, but it wasn't all right. Now also notice, they were all good girls. Amen. They were morally clean. The Bible calls them virgins, but five of them were lost. Notice also, they were religious. They were right in with the religious crowd. Amen. They had their religious pretense, their religious shows, but they did not possess Jesus Christ as their Savior. They were lost. They had good intentions. Could I remind you this morning that the road to hell is paved with good intentions? I mean, they wanted to go to heaven. By the way, have you ever met anybody that didn't want to go to heaven? I don't believe I've ever met anybody that didn't want to go to heaven. I've never met anybody that said, man, I can't hardly wait to go to hell. I've never met anybody like that. I mean, I can hardly wait to get there. I've never met anybody like that. And I have met some people that said, I'm homesick for heaven. Fact, Bennis, I'm getting kind of that way myself. I'm looking forward to heaven. These five virgins wanted to go to heaven, but they were trying to get there by some other way. There's only one way. Sorry, Mr. Olstein. There's not two ways to heaven. There's only one. And that's by the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10 of our text. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And notice the last phrase, and the door was shut. You see, people can meet all these conditions. They can be a good person. They can be a good man, a good woman, a good young person. They can be morally clean. And you may be a member of some congregational church or denomination. You may want to go to heaven, but if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart through his shed blood, you're not going. There's one way. One payment. One payment. Whereby we must be saved. That is through the precious blood. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 is the commentary on that if you want to look at it sometime. You see, the saved has to have it settled down here. And that there are some today who are just pretending But could I remind you this morning, God knows the difference. You see, there's not going to be any imposters get aboard that heavenly ship. There's not going to be any imposters caught up in the rapture. There'll be no imposters climb aboard that old ship of Zion. One of these days, dear friend, the trump's going to sound and Jesus is going to come for his own. And he knows the difference between the wise and the unwise. He knows the difference between the saved and the lost. He knows the difference between the pretender and those who really and actually possess him. The story of the Titanic is a familiar one to many people, especially since they made a movie of it many years ago. The Titanic, of course, was that great unsinkable ship that sank on its maiden voyage. The story is that they didn't have enough lifeboats for everybody. Why? Because they weren't planning to go down. You know what? You're here today. You're not planning to go to hell. There are a lot of people that are not planning to go to hell, but dear friends, there's only one way to stay out of that place, and that's to accept Jesus Christ. By the way, there are just two groups of people here this morning. Some of us are young, some of us are older. Some of us are tall and some are short. Some are skinny and some are not so skinny, but they're just two groups. Saved and lost. That's all's here. The question is, which group are you in? Are you in the heaven-bound group or the hell-bound group? You know, it's a good thing to know that you're going to spend your eternity in heaven. It's a good thing you know where you're going to spend your eternity. It's a good thing you know whether you're saved or lost. Someone might say, well, preacher, I don't believe you can know that. I've been told that many times. I don't think you can know whether you're saved. Listen, I'd hate to know I was saved and didn't know it. How many of you folks are married here today? Raise your hand. Anybody here that's married and don't know it? Say, well, that's stupid. It sure is. I'd hate to think that you could be married and not know it. When I got married, I remember that day so well. I stood there at the altar, watched my bride walk down the aisle. Boy, when I did that, Brother Matthew, my old heart started beating fast. Amen. She got there and I took her hand and I said, I do, and she said, I do, and we did. By the way, I'm still married until I get to heaven. Let me tell you something else. When I was 16 years old, back in 1949, April, New Hope Baptist Church in Warden, Illinois, on a Sunday night, my heart started beating fast. I was lost. I was on my way to hell. And I sat there and I watched an old-fashioned Bible preacher. He preached on the difference between heaven and hell, and I realized I didn't want to go to hell. I came forward and I got it settled in Jesus Christ. You see, you can know you're saved. Do you know you're saved? No, there's not going to be any imposters get on board that old ship of Zion. But when the Titanic went down, they didn't have enough lifeboats. And 1,400 men stood around that deck holding hands. And they decided that the women and children should get in the lifeboats and the life raft. And that the men would go down with the ship. And they went down to their watery grave holding hands and singing, Nearer My God to Thee. There was one man on that ship that didn't want to go down with the ship. And the story is told how he went down below the deck and he searched the various cabins until he found a woman's wig and he found some shoes and a dress that would fit him and he dressed up like a woman and he pretended to be a woman and slipped into one of the lifeboats. I said that to say this. Dear friend, you can't dress up like a Christian and go to heaven. You see, God knows the difference. And the fallacy of the foolish virgin was they pretended to be saved, but they were not saved. Question: can you look back on a time when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, I'm amazed at the people I meet all across this country, and they say, well, I hope I'm saved. That's not good enough. Brother, I don't want to face death and eternity on a hope-so basis. I hear people say all the time, well, I pray I'll be saved in the end. Too late then. See, you have to get it settled now. You have to individually and personally and definitely trust Christ as your Savior. Then secondly, notice the folly of the wise virgins. The wise virgins represent those who are truly saved. But the folly of the wise virgins is represented and shown us in verse 5. Look at it. And while the bridegroom tarried, they, talking about the wise virgins, they all slumbered and slept. You see, the wise virgins were asleep. And they represent the saved that are in our churches that are unconcerned about those that are around them. Your pastor just announced this morning that on Saturday you have visitation soul winning. When that time comes, where are you? Are you home asleep? You see, the wise virgins, their folly of their life was that though they were really and truly and honestly saved, they weren't concerned about the lost. What a sad thing as we travel across the country. Over 90% of our churches are asleep when it comes to winning souls to Christ. Many years ago, I pastored a Central Baptist church in Prescott, Arizona. The church that I got called to preach in. And then several years later, I was able to go back and pastor that church. We were getting ready for a revival meeting. I had printed up a bunch of flyers and we were going to distribute those door to door. One of the members of that church was a dear old saint of God, 94 years old. I remember my wife and I used to go over there and visit with her, hoping that we could be a blessing. I always left there, and I was the one that got the blessing. That dear old saint of God stood up in their squeaky little voice. I'll never forget it. She said, Pastor, can I help passing out those flyers? And I said, you sure can. And she took a bunch of those flyers and she went door to door in her neighborhood. And while she did that, she led 5 children to Christ. You see, she was concerned. My question to you this morning, are you concerned? Somehow we, in this day and age, we've grown cold and we're unconcerned about the loss that are all around us. And the folly of our life is while we have an opportunity to let Jesus through us love people, we won't allow God to do that. We're too busy. We seem to be asleep spiritually. You know, I'd hate to know that I'd have to face Jesus asleep to our responsibility of soul winning. I'd hate to know that I had to face Jesus as to my need of a church relationship. If you're here today and you're not a member of this New Testament church, by the way, when God comes, He's coming for the church. not the building. He's coming for us, not some spooky individual spiritual church out there in the sky. God's plan is for the local New Testament church. Born again, baptized believers banded together in a covenant of faith, carrying out the great commission of the Word of God. Could I remind us, when Jesus wrote letters, he wrote letters to the church. He addressed them to the church, and the Bible said he loved the church and gave himself for it. And I got news for you. When he comes, he's coming for the church. He's not coming for the Rotary Club or the Lions Club or some other club. He's coming for the church. Hebrews 10:25 says this, as we see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? He's talking about the day that Jesus comes. Listen, that's a midnight hour when Jesus comes. If it's 12 o'clock noon, that's a midnight hour when Jesus comes. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I just don't like go to church. Well, if you're going to heaven, you're sure going to feel out of place. Amen. Because that's all it's going to be. I mean, think about it. 24/7, singing and shouting and praising God around the throne of God. Praising and worshiping Him forever. Then lastly, I want us to look at the future of all the virgins. Notice the future of the wise virgins in verse 10. Look at it. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And here it is. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. You know, the Bible tells us that there's coming a day. We don't know when, we don't know the hour, we don't know anything about it. We believe it's going to be soon. I believe Bible prophecy tells us it's going to be soon, but there's a coming a day. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that the trump of God's going to sound and the archangel is going to shout and Jesus is going to step out on that same taxi cloud that took him up, and he's coming down for us. He's coming back again in the air, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We're going to meet with the Lord in the air and forever be with the Lord in the air. We're going to be reunited with their souls that God brings with him. And when we that are alive remain, who are saved will be changed. The Bible talks about that. We'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air forever to be with the Lord. Let me ask you a question this morning. What would happen to you if Jesus came right now? Would you be left or would you go? You know, if Jesus came right now, I'd go right through that roof. Wouldn't be a hole there either. Amen. Wouldn't need a hole. I'd have a glorified body and I'd go to be with the Lord in the air. Forever to be with the Lord. Would you go or would you be left? Are you pretending or are you really saved? I'm convinced that there are so many pretenders in the average Baptist church across America today that if the rapture took place, their services wouldn't even be interrupted. In fact, in some churches, I doubt if the preacher would be interrupted in his sermon. I'll tell you what, you won't be caught up to be with the Lord without a no-so salvation. You see, a no-so salvation, that's the only kind the Bible talks about. That's the only kind Jesus provides. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You see, Paul was ready to face the Lord. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe, that you may know that you have eternal life. You see, the future of the wise virgins is they were ready. And the Bible says they were caught up to meet the Lord in the air and they went in to the marriage. They went into the marriage. The Bible says the door was shut. Remember back, if you can, and I'm sure you can, to the days of the flood. One day God told Noah, he said, it's time for you and your family to get into the ark. And the Bible says, the door was shut. By the way, when God shuts the door, no man can open it. No doubt some there back then have begged and they pleaded and cried and they pounded on the door. They said, let us in, let us in. But God shut the door. See, they were ready and went in and the door was shut. The Bible said the door was shut in verse 10. What does that mean? That means that the shut door shuts us into heaven. Well, that's a good thing. We're going to be there forever. Thank the Lord, it shuts us out from the horrors of hell and the judgment that's going to come to this earth during the tribulation period. It shuts us out from Satan and the Antichrist. God shut the door. I thank God this morning that I'm going to be on the inside. Amen. Which side are you going to be? Then let's look quickly at the future of the unwise virgin. Look at verse 8, please. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. You see, they wanted to get right, but it was too late. Look at verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to buy to them that sell and buy for yourself. Let me tell you something, dear friend. My salvation is not enough for him. It's only enough for me. My dad and mom's salvation wasn't enough for me. I had to personally and individually accept Jesus Christ. Amen. What I'm saying is, you can't go to heaven because some member of your family is going to heaven. Your mom or your dad or your sister or your brother, their salvation can't help you. You must have it. Verse 9 and 10. You see, you don't have time when the bridegroom comes to get the Holy Spirit. Oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. The shut door. It shuts the saved in with Jesus, and now it shuts the unsaved out forever and ever. By the way, when God shuts the door, I repeat again, nobody can open it. When God says that's the last opportunity, there's not going to be any more opportunities. God said you've waited too long. It's too late. Only one door, and yet the sides are two. The inside and the outside. On which side are you? The Bible says when Jesus comes, that the saved are going to be taken. And God's going to shut the door. And they'll have no more opportunity to be saved. But the words will come back to haunt them, just like the words said here. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Does God know you today? Are you 100% sure you're saved? How about your family? Are they saved? How about your neighbor? Is he saved? Is she saved? Are their kids saved? Heads are bowed, please. Eyes are closed. Are you 100% sure that if you died today, that you'd go to heaven? If not, I hope you'll come and let us take the Word of God show you how God loves you, that he died for your sin. Christian friend, today, are you truly concerned about lost souls today? Are you concerned about your lost